Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 20. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we come this evening to consider this glorious and astounding event of all history. The beginning of the ministry of our Savior by him taking on human nature and coming into this world. That in and of itself is mind-boggling. That in and of itself causes Paul to write in Philippians with such amazement and such an example to us of the humility that the Lord Jesus Christ showed in leaving glory to come down to such a world as this. The incarnation itself is an expression of God's marvelous love towards us. You know, we're so upset with people that sometimes we want to cross over the street, never mind walk by them and say nothing. We want to cross over the street. We want nothing to do with them, especially if they are enemies, especially if there's some friction between us. We get so heated up. Well, there was friction between the Creator, the heavens and the earth, and mankind. Terrible friction. In fact, at one point, God destroyed the world in Noah's day. Now, that's not somebody being just a little upset, is it? I mean, that's not like somebody was offended, somebody said some bad, wrong word or something. No, no, no. God destroyed the whole world. And even in creation itself, in terms of Adam and Eve, they sinned. What did they do? Did they burn the creation down? Did they destroy creation? They took from the forbidden fruit, and what happened? God destroyed the whole earth. The process began. The world was subjected to futility. And we experience that today as the creation doesn't act the way that it ought to act. By God's grace, it still sustains us, but it doesn't act the way that God designed it to act in the first place. And all of humanity fell into sin. And we see all the atrocities that we see that shock us because of that sin. And all that we had brought down upon ourselves and marred God's image in us. It is to us that the Lord Jesus Christ came. Not on a stallion. Not with angels behind him, with swords drawn, angels of death to destroy everybody on earth. No. No, he came in the words of Hosea to speak kindly. To speak kindly to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, as they inevitably will under his wrath and judgment, but that they might have eternal life. Is it any wonder that Paul, writing to the Philippians, and all the infighting and all the things that were going on and the things that people were saying, appeals to this? Have the same mind as Christ. Well, this passage, in one way, is very shocking, because this tremendous event is witnessed by a handful of people. I mean, there's Mary, there's Joseph, there's the shepherds that come, but that's it. I'm sure each and every one of us, and nobody here is of that great reputation, and not to demean anyone, but none of us are kings and rulers. But I'm sure each and every one of us had a birth that had more people interested in our birth than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hardly anyone came. In fact, it reminds us of the king's wedding feast. And he invited a lot of people, no doubt the prestigious. Nobody came. And so he sent his servants out to the byways and the highways to bring them in. He had to send the angels to the shepherds. Go and witness this thing. No one else has come. You go and witness and be messengers of this glorious, glorious act of God. We need to take much care in terms of what this passage is teaching us as we draw closer to this wonderful event that we're going to celebrate on Friday. We need to understand all of these things and appreciate these things so that as we draw closer and closer to it, we will come in a way that will benefit us, that we will come in a way that we can enter into the joy, enter into the wonderful blessing that God intends for us. Because that's where it's at. That's where it's at. It's not knowing all the facts and the details, even though that's important for us to know. It's more than that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ being born in us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ occupying our heart and our mind and our life. It is about us receiving Him. Because He is the gift of God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. So people of God, it starts with you. It starts with me. Before we can tell anyone else, we have to be satisfied. We have to enter into that joy. We have to understand it. Because I can promise you this, if you do, or as you do, then this season will be described as the shepherds are described, which is that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told. So as we look at this passage then, the first thing we look at is where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. The shepherds are told to go to this lowly town, Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He wasn't born in Rome. He wasn't born in the New York of that day, or London, or Paris. He was born in Bethlehem. Where exactly is that? I mean, what great province is that in? Micah has to remind them of that. Micah has to warn them. The Lord Jesus, God Himself, warns them of that in Micah. Speaks about Bethlehem. And how they ought not to disregard Bethlehem. Not because it was such a great commercial place. Not because it had a great name. Had the greatest hotels. Had great people living there. But rather it was insignificant. And you, Bethlehem. All the towns of Judea. People think that you're the least, that you're insignificant. And perhaps they were. But that ought not to discard it from God's purposes. For out of you, shall come out a ruler, my ruler, who will shepherd God's people. Bethlehem was blessed, not because there was something intrinsic to Bethlehem. No. It was because from Bethlehem arose the Savior. We're told that God did not choose the rich of this world, the intellectual greats of this world. But rather he chose the poor of this world, the people that are discarded by the world. Why? Because there's anything intrinsically better with those people as opposed to the rich? Absolutely not. There's no difference. The poor are just as sinful as the rich. But in order to show forth his glory, he works where there isn't pride that stands in the way. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's much harder. It's much easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's so proud of himself. Look at Naaman. A leper. And he had such pride. Where's a prophet anyway? Why isn't he here? Why is he waving his hand? Why do I have to wash in this water? You'd think he was in charge. A leper. That's the way we are. We're lepers, but we speak like kings. No. God came to Bethlehem. People of God, we ought to be careful that we don't take on the ideas of the world. That we don't judge things from outward perspective, worldly perspective. We're in the danger of that because we live in this world. And so James tells us to be careful. You know, when somebody comes into the church and they look very affluent, we kind of talk to them, we want them to stay, we give them best seats, we give them our attention. And James says, how ridiculous that is. How ridiculous that is. And when a poor person comes, oh well, maybe some may talk to them, but the rest of them kind of disregard them. We don't look for faith. We don't look what's inside. No, but we judge on the outside. Oh, Bethlehem. Bethlehem. The world disregards you. But out of you shall come forth my ruler, and he will shepherd my people. We know from other passages that they knew that it was Bethlehem, but they couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Herod asked, they told him, but they never went. I mean, if they knew, why weren't they waiting and looking? No, Bethlehem. No. God chose Bethlehem. He's not looking for a palace. He's not looking for the headquarters of this world. He already has those. It's called heaven, where he's enthroned above the nations. He came to save sinners. And there he was. And there they came. Mary wasn't, you know, the high society. Neither was Joseph. I don't know that there were hotels or the equivalent back then. They probably didn't have money to stay in those places. I mean, when they came to offer sacrifice, they bought a bird. That's all they could afford. It was the least that they could do. And here's somebody that's about to give birth. And none of the people staying in these places had enough compassion to say, but this lady is going to give birth. Perhaps we should make a room available. No. No. They could go to the stalls, the manger. They could have the baby there. I mean, what a reception for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And people of God, I say that not to draw attention to Bethlehem, not to indict the people of that day. I say that as an indictment upon us all. Because where is the room for him in your house? Where is the room for him in your heart? Have you made room? Have you, with all of your heart, submitted yourself to him and saying, Lord, it's not my house, it's yours. Lord, it's not my heart, it's yours. It's not my life, it's yours. I belong to you, body and soul. You are my creator. That's the more personal question. Not to snicker at the fact that Bethlehem could not find a room for them. I trust that he is free in every room of your life. Every thought is brought captive to the Lord Jesus. Everything that we say, everything that we do, every goal that we set in our life is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't come in with restrictions. The Lord Jesus Christ does not come in with restrictions. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. You can never say to him, oh Lord, I believe in you, but. There is no but. Absolutely no. We fall down before him with 100% allegiance to him. You know, that's the way Naaman turned out. He didn't begin that way. He began in his pride. But that's the way he left. That's the way he left. Laying it all out. Yes, I believe in this God. I know I was blind. I know I was foolish, but I believe in him. And I want you to know that when I go with the king and I go with him into his idols that he worships, I don't mean it. Because I'm yours. And let me take some dirt from here, from his country, I might worship him. There was no negotiation on his part. None at all. It was full submission. People thought, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ demands of us. That's what true faith is. And so, perhaps, we need to open every room of our hearts and of our lives so that he might bring the aroma of his rule and his gospel into every aspect of our life. As I said, there weren't many people there in Bethlehem in that manger. None that we're told of, actually. And so what happened? God sends in the night his angel to shepherds that were taking care of the sheep. Now, shepherds didn't have highest paying jobs, but let me put it this way, the most reputable jobs. I mean, now people say, yeah, he's a doctor, he's an engineer, he's a whatever high-class jobs there are today. People didn't tend to do that with shepherds. Oh, my son's a shepherd. In fact, in Egypt, you remember, when the Israelites came and Joseph was speaking to his brothers, he said, you know, when Pharaoh comes and he talks to you, tell him that you're herdsmen, because they are despised by the Egyptians. And they won't want anything to do with you. And so they're probably most likely put you on one side of Egypt somewhere, keep you out of the way, but just because you're related to me, right? But it'll be safe for you. And that's what they did, as they were shepherds, were herdsmen. Probably equivalent to saying, we're just slaves. There's nothing to us, we're slaves. Why? Well, because the rulers didn't come. The religious leaders didn't come. The Pharisees didn't come. The Sadducees didn't come. The intellectuals of Israel didn't come. So we're going to allow the Creator of the heavens and the earth to enter without any, the wedding feast, as it were, equivalent of, is going to be empty? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Equivalent to go to the highways and the byways. Go bring in the blind and the lame. Does it mean that they have a free pass just because they're poor? No. Absolutely not. Because remember, in that parable, people came in and the owner said, the king said, well, why, you know, how come you don't have the right clothes on? The guy didn't say, well, I'm poor. I can't afford them. No. He chose not to wear them. He chose to come under his own conditions. And what happened? He was cast out. He was cast out. So it's not a matter of just because we're poor, we're accepted in. No, absolutely not. Otherwise, we would have tons and tons of churches among the poor communities. Not necessarily the case. But nevertheless, they were sent to shepherds. And by the way, who were sent? Angels themselves. The angels didn't say, but Lord, you want us to go to shepherds? I mean, why don't we go to Jerusalem? Why don't we go to the capitals of the world? Why don't we address the powerful and bring them to their knees? I want to go. You're to go to the shepherds. I mean, how overawed the shepherds must have been. No one cares about us. We're not important. But to them, the angels declared this glorious news. To you, this day is born in the city of David a Savior. So just as we heard this morning, Mary needed a Savior. Let me say it clearly. The poor need a Savior. They're not saved just because they're poor. No, no, no. The poor need a Savior. And this wonderful news was given to them. So don't let the world pigeonhole you. Don't let the world push you in a corner. Don't let the world convince you that you're insignificant and that life is really passed you by. You just have to make it through, jumble your way through. No one's interested in you. Well, I'm here to tell you different. When it says God so loved the world, it does include you. It does include you. And when it says whosoever believes, that whosoever does include you. So don't let people push you around. God calls you and tells you because he's put it in the scriptures for you to read. that this day, in the city of David, has been born to you a Savior. But you need to go. You need to see that. You need to believe that. You need to embrace that. You need to bow down before Him. Christmas is coming fast. You need to know what God has done. And you need to respond in a very personal way yourself. A lot of things around Christmas that can detract us. But all the sadness when we neglect God's call to us, that unto us is born this day a Savior. Your Savior. And so the shepherds go. And they're given this confirmation of what they're going to find when they get there. So not only is this passage telling us about the terrible thing that people didn't respond and they didn't go and they didn't welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but at the same time, evidence is being given for the generations to come. And so he was registered in the city of David, where he's supposed to have been born, according to the Old Testament. Everything was fulfilled according to the prophecies, so that we can be even more convinced with all of this evidence. How shall we neglect such a great salvation when it's been confirmed over and over and over again? So they did go to Bethlehem. They didn't encounter what you might encounter if you go to an event, football game, the important events of this life, 60, 70,000 people, and getting there is so difficult because of the congestion. The shepherds had no congestion whatsoever. Maybe that caused them to doubt. City of David? Bethlehem? A Savior's been born? The angels told us? I don't see anyone else going. Seems to be a very lonely road. You sure we got it right? You sure you weren't hallucinating? Can this really be true? But they went, nevertheless. And they saw exactly what the angels had told them. And they shared that news. And they understood what God had told them. And they saw it with their own eyes. If Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ and saw it was glad, then that's the same response of faith from the shepherds. They saw with their own eyes. And they left rejoicing. Their lives were transformed. They were born again. All things had passed away, and behold, all things had become new. That's what infused their life with joy and gratitude. They were never the same after that. So the question is, have you met the Lord Jesus Christ in that manner? Can you really say from the bottom of your heart, when I met and understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was, my life completely changed. It's never been the same since. And it's just growing. Growing day by day in joy. Because if it's not, then perhaps you didn't meet Him at all. Naaman went back rejoicing. The shepherds went rejoicing. Christmas Day we'll speak about Anna and Simeon. Old people about to die, and yet they were filled with joy. Filled with joy. In fact, they were ready to die. He was ready to die. He said, Lord, now your servant is ready. Every person that has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has had that same experience, and I trust experiencing it every day of their lives. People of God, these events that we celebrate and that we focus upon, they are life transforming. It doesn't matter what the condition of your life may be. It doesn't matter whether you're low down on the, well, actually I was going to say low down on the totem pole, but that's really the highest position. Or whether you're at the top of the totem pole. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the world. We have the world. An eternity to come. I'm here to tell you that in the city of David has been born to you and to me and to each and every one of us a Savior. And in Him you will find eternal delight, the forgiveness of your sins and healing. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the gift of your Son. And our Father, we're thankful because it is not just a gift that we enjoy for a while and then put aside with other gifts that we've had. No, no, no. This gift, this relationship, is the very soul of our life. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And though this life is wonderful, and you bless us with so many experiences, yet our Father, this world is not our home. Because our heart is with you in heaven, where we seek to be, where the Lamb is all the glory, and He is our vision. Our Father in heaven, we pray that this time and this season may inflame our hearts with all that you have done and are doing, and that we might remind ourselves that we are eternally blessed because we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and respond.